about you, but I so appreciate our worship team because they enter the throne room throughout the week praying about what songs preach the gospel and minister to the heart of the Lord that minister to the heart of us, and I was wiped out. So I'm grateful for this church body and all they do so we can gather together and worship. I'd like to pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. Jesus, thank you for all you did for us as we sang the gospel, the true gospel, the almost too good to be true news, Lord. We thank you for shedding your blood for us. And Lord, we ask you to be glorified, not only in this message, Lord, but in our very lives. Lord, we want to know your ways. We want to know your heart. We want to take on your character and nature. And I thank you for revealing who you are and how to be transformed into your image by the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm doing a study on blood covenant, and this is part two of my message. And if you missed it, please, I beg of you, go back online because we're going to jump right in where I left off. And I am learning so much. And it's good to go into the word humble, looking to learn. Never go in going, oh, I know that scripture, because man, pride comes before the fall. And if you've read that scripture 1,000 times, ask the Lord for revelation, and he'll show it to you. So anyway, we're going to pick up on where he left off. And last week, I was talking about the scarlet cord of the blood of Jesus that is woven throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, of the covenant that God set up for us that all points to him. And as we dive into this, I'll tell you, it'll not only give you a greater revelation of who he is and build your faith in the promises of God, that he's true to his promise. He's true to his word. And it's something, honestly, we've lost in American culture and our modern ways of, you know, contracts are meant to be broken. You look for loopholes. And because of that in our culture and how we honestly don't take our own word seriously, we kind of class group bailers and so forth, I think it has greatly affected our faith in God. Because if we don't take our own word seriously, we're not going to take God's word seriously. And my goodness, the world doesn't take our word seriously. So they're not even going to come to our Jesus. So as we work on these things, always think, how can I apply this to my life? All right, so as we talk about, and I'm going to dive into the ancient covenant rite of blood covenant, and I kind of like just started it last week, so please go back and listen to it. But, you know, the key scripture for this series is Hebrews 8:6. Now, as we study the power of the covenant in the Old Testament into the New, it says here, but now, which this is the now time, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better, everybody say far better. This is like blow your mind, far better covenant with God based on better promises. All right, so what exactly, just a quick review, what exactly is a blood covenant in the Old Testament and the New Testament? The word covenant just means this, an agreement or contract between two people or two groups of people or parties, between God and his people in which promises are made. And there are two major covenants. If you have a physical paper Bible or you have a little electronic one, it's broken into what? Two testaments, and the word testament actually better translates to the word covenant. So there is an old covenant and a new covenant, okay? And it all changed when Jesus came, right? And the better one's at the front of the book, but I'll tell you, to understand how much better, how much mind-blowingly, how powerful it is, what it bought for you at the cross, you need to understand the old covenant of what, because it was like, that was incredible. That's what we're going to study today. That was so powerful. It'll blow your mind how much of a better deal it is now. All right. So where did it come from? Where did this whole blood covenant come from? All right. I'm going to go, I felt like it wasn't for today, so I cut some things out where I'm going to kind of go through like the Garden of Eden to Revelation, but I felt like to just pick up where I left off last week. I want to talk about the old covenant, like ancient practices of like how they did things, the covenant rites, and how that immediately translates to the new covenant with Jesus. But first of all, blood covenant was a really big deal. It was not something to be taken lightly. It was not something you break. Because if you broke the blood covenant back then, someone died. And that kind of makes sense, you know, when we talk about Jesus here. All right, and the word covenant comes from this Hebrew word, berith. And it means to cut in reference to the flesh. And it could be a flesh of a person, a man, or, you know, a human, or an animal. All right, and it means to cut until the blood flows. So that's just not like a little finger prick. That's like flowing blood. That's a big deal. That's what leaves a scar. That's a memorable event that you'll never forget. If anyone's ever been cut in an injury that where blood is flowing, you never forgot that event. All right? So God initiated this covenant with mankind. And what this means is everything that God owes and owns is ours through this covenant. And everything that we owe and everything that we own is his. And I don't know about you, but in modern culture, most people own more debt than anything. And you're like, wow, God gets all of my debt, all of my sin, all of my shortcomings. Who got the better end of the deal? We did. Now, if you ever kind of like signed a contract on something, you're like, oh, I got a really good deal on this. I mean, we got the better end of the deal, but he did it because he loved us. All right. And we'll talk about that more. All right. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 through 22. All right. So I want to talk about blood covenant really kind of has so much more to do with who we are in Christ Jesus in the New Testament. So all the things that Christ Jesus had was made ours through this blood covenant. All right. It says, 2 Corinthians 5, 21 through 22, and this is the Amplified, says, he made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in him, everybody say in him. So Brother Kenneth Hagin wrote this book, In Him. It's a tiny little book. We might have it in the bookstore, we might not get it. And it's just a little book of all these in him statements, these covenant statements of everything that we have and all that we are when we're found in him. So when I'm in him, I put my faith in him. It says this, we would become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to him, placed in a right relationship with him by his gracious loving kindness. And what do we talk about? I think this is probably the last two sermons. Loving kindness comes from this word hesed, and it's poorly translated. So, you know, we lose the depth in translation. We talk a lot, you know, when you know a couple languages, things are lost in translation. So this word hesed, anybody remember? It means covenantal love. Because of his covenantal love towards us, we're made right with God. And no matter how much sin and shame Satan tries to throw at you, I can hold my head high because my debt is now his. And his righteousness is now mine when I'm in him, all right? Through the power of his grace, God's grace it comes from the word charis. It's the Greek word that means God's divine influence on our heart reflected in our lives. A modern translation would be God's divine empowerment. I'm made right, not because I'm good at being good, because how many people are really terrible at being good? We mess up all the time. Because he's right with God, all that he has is mine. And I'm right with God. Who got the better end of the deal? He took the sin, he took the shame, he took the shortcomings, and he gave us his righteousness. Verse 22, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness. Remember, loving kindness, covenantal love, and then ignore it. That means we read it and we said, amen, amen. We wrote it down and we don't apply it to our lives. Okay? The Brian Standard Version I really like. And it says, as God's fellow workers or co-workers, then we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. So we can read it and say, amen, amen, amen. That's good. Well, that's really good for someone else. I'll text them that encouraging scripture. But we have a really hard time receiving God's righteousness as a free gift and feel like we have to earn it. And we hold our heads low. Oh, God, you can't use me. I can't pray for that one person. I'm not good enough. And he goes, that's right. That's why it's such a good deal. You don't need to be good enough. You just need to receive what? My righteousness by faith. And let me use you to impart what? Righteousness into someone else. How cool is that? You divine connectors. We're just vessels. All right. I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and then I'm going to dive into some ancient covenant practices because oh, it's deep. All right. Romans 8, 17, it says, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. What did Jesus Christ inherit when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again? He's joint seated in heavenly places with him. And where are we seated? With him. And all that he has is ours. And all that we have is his. Who got the better end of the deal? We did. Now we understand why this is such a better covenant, right? All right, here we go. And last scripture before I like dive into this process of the ancient covenant rites. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 22 through 23. Everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Do you know the context of this? They were fighting over who was the better preacher. So dumb. You know, I'm just tired of, like, listen, and there's just a lot of stuff going on in the world right now, but I'm tired of us all criticizing all the other churches and shooting the other team. And what do you say? Just get your eyes on me. Just get your eyes on me. All that Jesus has is mine, and all that I have is his. Amen? All right, so the Bible records throughout Scripture the ancient covenant rites, and actually throughout all civilizations, these ancient civilizations, there's these concept of blood covenant. Now, there's different variations of such. I kind of touched on one last week. So I want to kind of talk about in the Old Testament how this blood covenant went, and there are about 8 steps that went through it. So I want to kind of tell a story with it. So let's just pretend, or let's just say there are 2 tribes. All right, let's just say this is the Smith tribe and this is the Jones tribe. I don't know. These are common names. Do we have any Smith Jones anybody with last name Smith or Jones in here? All right, good. It's not personal. So just generally, here's the Smith side. Remember at weddings? I'll talk about this in the future. You know, you kind of have one side that, you know, the Smith side's marrying the Jones side. Okay, so you have 2 tribes, all right, and they get together and they're like, okay. Normally they formed a covenant because there was a weaker. It was based on differences. Let me put it. It was based on, wow, you're bringing something really awesome to the table, and you're bringing something really awesome to the table. Your strengths are my weaknesses, and my weaknesses are your strengths. Let's come together so we're better together, right? All right. And how many people know it's good when the church comes together? We're better together instead of just dividing up and getting another thing going on. Okay. So it's all about bringing people together. And then they had like a deep discussion and these talks went on and they would negotiate what the benefits of this deal would be. You know, hey, if your girl marries my guy, you know, like, you know, okay, this is what's going to happen and this is how we're going to be better off. And then they would go, and if anybody breaks this deal, there's going to be consequences. So the benefits were the blessings, right? And the consequences was the curse. And how many people know that was what motivated you to keep your word? All right. And so you ever wonder in the Old Testament, they talk a lot about the blessing and the curse, the blessing and curse, that was what motivated you to keep it. And that was a part of the culture. All right. So then each family, which side is this? Is this the Smith side? I can't remember. This is the Smith side? Jones? Okay. Everybody raise your hand if you're a Smith. Okay. Raise your hand if you're a Jones. All right. And let's see, Joyce, you're on the Smith side. Mindy, you're on the Jones side. Okay. There we go. Holly Jones. Okay. This is great. All right. Everybody got renamed. All right. We're at a wedding, you know? Okay, so we're at a covenant contract kind of thing. All right, so what they did is they went to the Smith side and they go, who represents, who is the epitome? Who represents our family the best? And if they're a family of warriors, they're going to get the biggest, strongest one. If they're a family of chefs, you're going to get the best chef in the entire family tree. If you're a family of mechanics, who's the guy that can fix anything? So in my family, I'm like the chef and he's the mechanic. And man, I got a better end of the deal. Let me tell you, this man can fix anything, right? So they kind of found the person that would represent. So let's just say this is the mechanic side. Man, they can just fix anything, okay? And this is like, let's say you're the chefs, right? You know, oh my gosh, you know, like beef Wellington. My sister-in-law made a beef Wellington one day. I was like, I'll talk about it for years. It was amazing. All right, and they got the best chef of the family and the best mechanic of the family, and they said, okay, here's the benefits. We're kind of see the obvious benefits. And then they went, okay, now there's consequences if you break this deal. Blessing and cursing, and that will come into play later on. All right, so how many people know in the new covenant, who's our representative? Who represents the better deal better than anyone else? Jesus Christ. He is our representative. And we are given these identification statements, okay? When you read the Bible, and I'm learning to read it through the terminology of covenant, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I studied back in Bible school, which was a really long time ago in a faraway place like 2004. That's a really long time ago. I don't remember everything. So I'm restudying it and going, wow, I want to highlight my Bible differently. All right, so every time you see in him, through him, in Christ, highlight it, maybe put it in red and go, that's a covenant statement. That's a blood covenant statement. That's what I have access to because of his shed blood. These are the benefits, right? All right. And when we receive those benefits by faith, so when I like pray them and just declare them over my life, I am by faith, not working for it. I'm saying, hey, it's a better deal. I don't have to work for it. It's legally mine. And I'm going to claim it. Come on, you go to court to claim what's yours, right? I'm going to claim it by faith. And by faith, we tap into grace, God's divine empowerment that transforms us into his image. And our greatest weakness is when I can't make myself be like Jesus. I fail every day. But I legally get the better end of the deal. And by the power of his grace, which I receive by faith, those in him statements are mine. And I receive them by faith. And it transforms me in his image, okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, raise your hand, Smith and Jones, if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, right? What's our better end of the deal here? The almost too good to be true news, that's what translates the word gospel. It says this, I am a new creation. The old things, the sin debt, the mortgage, my criminal record, all the dumb things I recorded on Facebook in my 20s, it's totally erased. And behold, all things become new. And the newness looks like Jesus. That's mine, my legal right. I receive it by faith, and it has the power to transform me. Okay, this is the gospel. I'm getting excited. Okay, the next thing they did, they chose the site. So, you know, for you wedding people, they chose the wedding venue, right? All right, so I don't know. The Smith and Joneses got together and go, hey, here's the place that can get all the big family in. How many people know that's the hardest part in getting a wedding venue? Is finding a place that fits all of us, right? All right, so they chose a covenant site where the entire family could get a good look of the covenant ritual. No one wanted to miss it because they wanted to make sure it was done right. And this was a celebration, by the way, a big celebration at the end. All right? So they'd all gather around the covenant site. All right, and there were eight ways or eight steps that they went into this Old Testament covenant that joined these two families or two groups of people or two tribes, two businesses, okay, whatever it may be, all right? And Jesus actually entered and exemplified all eight of these steps. And it's really fun when you dig into it. All right, so the very first step, if you're note takers, step one, exchange your coats or a garment. Okay, so can someone, this is my, what, Smith size? Smith Jones. So I need a Smith that would fit this military size medium jacket. Anyone? Come on. Whitney, come on up here. There you go. Whitney and I are friends, so she doesn't get mad at me. Plus, it matches your outfit beautifully. Look at these earth tones. Very nice, very nice. All right, so this is the jacket, Emma, because you're on the front row here, and also we're friends, so, you know, we don't embarrass easily. Okay, so this is your jacket. This is your military jacket, which represents what? Everything that you have and your authority. Okay, so you're going to have this, right? And you go, okay, so you're the representative of the Jones, which is like the best mechanic of the whole Jones family, right? Okay, you're going to go over to the best chef. Come on over. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Okay, and you're going to go, okay, so all that you have is now Whitney's. All right, so go ahead, give her coat, okay? And Whitney, pretend you had a coat, your chef coat. That's okay. And then you gave it to Emma. That's okay, I didn't have a chef coat. There you go. Okay, now you guys can go sit down because what has this represented? This said the representative of the what side of the family? Smith, just so you don't fall asleep. And the representative of the Jones side of the family, the best mechanic and the best chef got together and they exchanged their coats, which was a visual representation of everything they had was theirs and their very authority to represent the family. That means if you mess with what side of the family? You mess with the Jones. Not only do you get the whole family stepping up. Come on. You got one of those family. You mess with one of us, you get all of us. What we call in the Smith side of the family. And everybody stand. Come on, everybody stand up. This keeps you from falling asleep. I know. What? You mess with one of us? You mess with all of us. Okay, you can sit down. Okay. So church, when someone starts throwing stones at another church, instead of dividing, we have to remember we're in covenant, right? So if someone's going to go try to take someone else's house because they got a debt, we all chip in. Not because they deserve it, but by the grace of God. Because a covenant, what? Love. Loving kindness. Hesed. Covenant love. What? The Passover. The blood that covers. We cover your debt. We cover your shame. We don't even talk about it. We don't even let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. We pass that hat. And everybody's just kind of shoving, and you know, I don't know, they do Venmo nowadays, they have like a whatever, you know, all anonymous. both sides of the tribe come in because it is their greatest joy, their greatest delight. It is the loving kindness to cover their debt. All that we have is each other's. Makes you do church different, huh? And also let people know. There's no shame in letting your friends know you're going through a hard time. If you're dealing with anxiety and depression, call in the tribe. Don't do life alone. Amen? All right, here we go. So that was the first step. Now, David and Jonathan, and we'll study this more in depth. There's so much in there in the Davidic covenant. They did this. So 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4 talks about some of these covenantal rites. Now let's just be real. There's 8 steps. This takes up an entire hour. In the Bible, this was so a part of culture that they didn't list every single 8 step every single time because it would just take up the whole thing, right? So it kind of highlights certain things, right? So you kind of jump in on this covenant and they mention, it says, as soon as David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, Saul's son, was knit to the soul of David. He goes, that's the kind of friend I want to have my back and I want to have his. That's the kind of guy I want on my team. That's the guy I'm recruiting for my tribe. That's the guy I want on my football team. You got me? Right? And he saw that's a better end of the deal, you know? Okay, so he said this. Okay, Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Don't make it weird, guys. Listen, I don't know about some people, you know, there's so many phrases about, but let's just be real. You know, like sometimes you love your friends more than you like your boyfriend. You follow me? Okay, so don't make it all weird, but like they just loved each other. They were like, come on, like if you've ever served in the military, these are the people you fight side by side. I have like friends in my life that have fought by my side for over 20 years. Like I love them. This society makes love all twisted. Satan likes to twist. Something so beautiful. All right? So think of it like military brothers. Like they're Marines together. They're fight together. Man, I love this guy. All right? So covenants are formed out of what? Love, okay? And then Jonathan goes, that's the kind of guy, that giant killer I want on my, I'm recruiting him. He's a first draft pick. All right? You follow me? I know Super Bowl's coming up. I'm there for the food. Here we go. All right. And then Saul took him that day. So Saul's like, yeah, I want him on my football team too, right? So they kind of recruited David in. And it said he would not let him return to his father's house, okay? Then Jonathan, now this is interesting. Now, this is where you kind of take your red highlighter or your, you know, red colored pencil or, you know, in your phone, highlight it in the color of blood covenant. It says, then Jonathan made a covenant with David. And it kind of zeroes in on one of the processes because it makes sense in the story. We're going to study it later. He says, he made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. That's my, like you know, talk about soul sisters. This is my blood brother. This is my brother. This is my what? This is my Marine brother. This is my guy, okay? And the New King James Version goes on to say that Jonathan took off his robe, remember my military jacket over here, that was on him and gave it to David. And then he gave him his armor and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And you're like, why? This is why, because this was what the culture, this was the obvious thing that they did in steps of a covenant, and it plays in the story, and that's why God really highlighted it. And if you know their story, it makes a lot of sense, all right? We'll go into it later. It says Jesus, oh my gosh, so much. Thank you, Lord. We'll go into it later. Jesus gave us more than his earthly garments, right? So what we're going to do, compare the Old Testament with the New so you understand the better deal. All right, Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exalt or lift in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me. The blood covering, hasid, loving kindness. He has covered me with his blood. He has covered my sin debt. What? And what does he do here? He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. All my sin, all my shortcomings, all of my mess. He took my mess, my dirty chef garment or whatever that I destroyed. I destroyed my life. I did the wrong thing. I got in a business deal. I lost my house. I lost my name. I declared bankruptcy. All I have is shame. Oh, that's a better end of the deal. I'll give you my shame jacket. I get your jacket of righteousness and authority that I didn't earn or I didn't deserve. It's because the Smith-Jones got together and we celebrated at the end the better deal. That's what Jesus did for us. Second step, step number two for you note takers. They exchanged weapons. So, you know, I don't know if you come from a family of weapons, you know, maybe you have samurai swords, you know, on your mantle, you know. I don't know what your weapon is, you know. Maybe you're really good with calculators, you accountants or whatever, or, you know, gun, whatever. But back then, it was like swords and slingshots and stuff, okay? All right, so Jonathan and David did this. They exchanged weapons. What? It was armor, sword, and belt. Okay, this is 1 Samuel 18:4. Go back and read it. And this signified, okay, all my strength, all my might, all of my military capabilities, all my weapons are yours. And if you came in there with a little rinky-dink slingshot, because that's all your family could afford, and you walked in, and how many people know those people? You know, you walk in and they got all kinds of wild weapons, you know, and you're like, wow, that's a better end of the deal. What does it signify? All my strength is yours. And Jesus did this. Ephesians 6:17, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it talks about all the armor that is God's armor. Put on God's armor. I put on his armor. I put on his ability, his might, his strength, his weapons, his way better deal than my rinky-dink slingshot. But by the way, God will work with your rinky-dink slingshot. Faith, grace, and take down giants. Amen? It's not so much the weapon, it is what powers it. Follow me? Okay, that'll preach. Here we go. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. Be strong, what? In him, in the Lord. I'm not strong. I'm a mess. This is a horrible week. I got no strength. He goes, good, better end of the deal. Put on my weapons because you're strong with me. Because the whole Jones side of the family said, you mess with them, you mess with all of us, right? All right, so it says, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on what? All of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Because God's going to fight your battle. All I got to do is stand in faith, okay? The armor represents what he's going to do for you. Follow me? You got to remind yourself of your covenant right. We talked about that last week. Psalms 28, 7 through 8 says, the Lord is my strength, my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me. My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs and thanksgiving. The Lord gives his people strength. You remember tag team wrestling, fake or not? When the big bad guy comes in and you're like, he's going to wipe my tail. I get out of the ring. I tag team. And what? Jesus comes in and fight my battle. And I'm just going to wear his shirt. Yay, I'm on his team. And I jump and I cheer and I shout because he just fought my battle. All right, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, there's an identity. Through Christ, I remind myself, I can do all things who strengthens me. Now, this is for all us that think, you know, just because we're aging and physically can't do things as good as we could, guess what? God comes in like a flood in our weakest of moments. Isaiah 40, 29 through 30, it says, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength, and they will soar high on the wings of eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and faint and not faint. Okay, step number three for your note takers. Step three, they exchange names in some way. So you think in weddings, you know, like, you know, they take on the last name. So think about this. I looked up the name of this. It's called a double-barreled name or a hyphenated name because all of a sudden they became the Smith-Jones family. So guess what? Now you have to rent like a bigger fire hall because when you're having your family reunion, it's not just the Smith side of the family. It's what? The Smith-Jones. The more the merrier. The bigger the party. The bigger the celebrate because what? We got a lot of what? Is this the, the chef side's over here, right? Okay, hey, this is good. You know, for the Jones side, you're good mechanics. This is good. But I mean, we got the chefs on this side. This is a lot to celebrate. Okay. So they hyphenated the name or they brought the name together, all right? This, when you are given the right to use someone else's name, this is the modern day power of attorney. Has anyone gotten the power of eternity to someone? Maybe as they were aging, maybe it was, you know, maybe they served in the military and they said this, you know, I don't know, I'm serving, I'm in service, I don't know what might happen to me, but I want to make sure that all that is mine is yours. The power to use their name. It's a legal term, the power of attorney, the right to use their name, and you have now all access to their stuff. You have all access to their resources. So if you had a raise your hand if you know someone that their pipes froze, okay? So let's just say their pipes froze, and it might have been you, and this is your covenant right. Hey, this, okay? Pipes froze, and they burst, and their whole house flooded. But guess what? So which side of the family this happened on, Smith or Jones? Who wants to claim it? All right, it happened on this side. It happened on the Smith side, right? Smith side, okay? We had a Mrs. Smith, and the pipe burst, and their entire house flooded, and guess what? They lost everything. And the insurance isn't coming through, but guess what? Oh, we have that covenant. And now you have access to all the resources on the Jones side of the family, and they're good at fixing stuff. What? So if you need to stay at someone's house, heck, they have a second house. They got a lake house. You got upgraded. You got a lake house, right? You didn't even have to ask. It was yours by legal right. You needed clothes because everything got ruined in the flood. Everything that you needed, God provided. All that I needed, God hath provided. You know that song, that hymn? All right. Philippians 4:19. And it says, the God who takes care of me will supply all your needs according to the riches which we have, ready, in Christ Jesus. All that I need, he has provided because of the covenant. But you have to take him at his word. And Jesus gave us his name to use in prayer, right? John 16:23 says, truly, truly. When they say truly, it says for real, for real. I know in modern culture, it's like for real, but like for real, for real. Like I'm really, 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 really serious. Take note, highlight this in red, right? It says, truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. All of my needs are met. He covers me. But what do you do when the bill collectors come in and they just put a sign in your yard saying, you know, your house is now for sale? They're taking it. I have to stand on the promises of God. I have to remember that hanging on my mantle is his samurai sword, which means he's going to go fight this battle. And all his resources, I've done all that I know to do, Lord. I cut up my credit cards. I repented for overspending. Or how about this? I just made a bad business deal with someone that betrayed me and took everything. But all I need, he has provided. And I will stand in faith on the promises of God because he's true to his word. And he's going to take care of us. And also, church, we are the hands and feet that helps, right? Because he moves through his people. All right, here we go. Mark 16:17-18. These signs will follow those that believe in my name. Everybody say, in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Is it all about you? It's his name. You're just allowing the power of God to flow through you. Isn't that great? Takes all the pressure off. There's no pressure to perform. I just use his name. When you're getting harassing, intrusive thoughts, when you're just like, you're just being shaken to the core with fear, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you get out of my head. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All of my needs are met according to the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. I will stand on the promises of God and his covenant love that covers me and watch him fight this battle. The victory is already mine because I'm with him. All right. Step number 4. Now, this is the thick of it, guys. This is the, oh, wow. Okay, here we go. Here we go. If we can do this. Step number 4 is the blood cutting. Now, I'm gonna talk about something, and if it's okay, I'm going to start the usher team because I don't want to rush this at the end. Usher team, would you just slowly take your time? We have plenty of time to distribute out the communion elements, because this is all going to make sense. This is the step 4 is the blood cutting. And open up your Smith Jones family, show us your wrists. Show us your hands, right? Remember Jesus? Okay, they would cut their wrists or their hands in a place, and what they'd either shake hands or they put the cuts together. And what, it wasn't this tiny little thing, it was till the blood flowed. And actually, it represented two becoming one, because the blood mixed together. We're now one blood. We've become what? Blood brothers, blood sisters. We're now blood family. We're the Smith Jones. We're all together now. All right, and then afterwards, they would lift up the cuts to show everybody. The two representatives, remember Jesus on the cross? Remember afterwards when he rose from the dead and no one believed him, he goes, but these are the scars. And some tribes and people groups, they'd even mix a substance in that to make it scar even bigger or tattoo it. What? So you could never forget. So when something happened to one side of the family, the representative went, ready for this? Someone messed with that side of the family, and the warriors lifted their hands and they saw the scars and the weapons came out and they fought their battle. This is the covenant. Whew, there's so much. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, it was to enter into this new covenant relationship. So this is a deep dive, and thank you, Lord, for the grace to do this. And like I said, please take your time. I just don't want to rush it at the end. So here's my question. When did Jesus' blood then mix with ours, right? Okay, I get the whole, you know, the cutting till blood flows and their blood mix. Where is this happening in the New Testament? Now, this is deep, so you gotta really pay attention so you don't miss it. John 6, 53 through 56. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, for real, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and what, drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Life. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, and my blood is the true drink. And whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. But here's a little bit of the catch 22, or the moment. But the Jews were forbidden to physically, literally drink blood. I don't have time to go into it, but there was why, because that's what the pagans did, and they did it to demonic spirits and weirdo stuff, right? Okay? So Jesus is saying you're supposed to eat my flesh and drink my blood, because then you'll know that the life of me is now in you. But wait, I'm not allowed to drink it. That's gross. That's disgusting. That's sacrilege. And what happened was this. That shocking statement to all the fair weather followers, all the friends that are really just there for the free food and entertainment, that like the debate, they went, oh, that's too much. And they abandoned him and they left. Because they didn't make the connection. Oh, wait, he's just speaking in covenant terms. Why? You'll find what you're searching for. They were looking for entertainment, and they were looking to discredit him, and they were looking to tear him down. So they found their excuse and left, and he went, whoa, you've missed the whole point that's been buried in your culture from the beginning of time. It's blood covenant I'm talking about. And I'll talk about, this is so wild. So John 6, 66 through 69 said this, after this, many of his disciples drew back. They totally abandoned him. They went back to their old association, their old ways. They no longer accompanied him. And Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Do you too desire to leave me? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words, the message of eternal life. He remembered how dead he felt on the inside. He remembered the shame, the shortcomings, how he just train wrecked his life. And he goes, but when I'm with you and I hear your word and I receive your word in faith, dead things come alive. This is hard stuff you're preaching, Jesus. So I'm going to stick around to hear more. But I know when I receive your word and faith, dead things come alive in my life. My heart comes alive. They didn't understand the symbolic covenant, blood covenant of communion. All right. Jesus is actually saying this. If you want to have eternal life, you need to enter into covenant with me. Blood covenant. How did his blood mix with our blood? That's the question. How do we partake of the blood of Jesus? Jesus starts to reveal this slowly. And you know the woman he revealed it to first? The woman at the well. Little Miss Scandalous. He went out of his way and he goes, I got the perfect person to reveal the better deal to. And I love this woman. What's he do? He says this. I love this. God showed me this. John 4, 10 through 15. Jesus replied, if you only knew. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, sir. If you only knew. If you only knew the gift God has for you, who you're speaking to, Christ Jesus, you would ask me and I would give you living water, life, eternal life, right? But those who drink the water I give to them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, life, dead things come alive. Giving them eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water. What's she saying? I feel dead on the inside. All I know is shame. All I know is rejection. The women talk bad about me. I keep making bad decisions over and over again. I'm a bad picker. I keep picking the wrong guy. And he tells me every day I'm not good enough. And he throws me to the curb like trash. I've been divorced 5 times. And the guy I'm with, my boyfriend, won't even marry me. I feel like trash because everyone's treated me like trash and I'm avoiding the well because I don't want one more reminder that I'm not good enough. And he looks at her and he goes, you know what? I'm going to reveal the better deal. I will gladly go out of my way to that one woman so I can take her shame. And now I have robed you in righteousness. Hold your head high, woman. You became the first evangelist of your whole town. That's the better deal. And that's the deal he gave us. 2 chapters later, he builds on this thought. John 6, 33 and 35, Jesus said to them, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life, life, life to the world. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Having your thirst quenched is not talking about the Gatorade. It's talking about the dead, the ache, the void, the hurt, the pain, the never feeling good enough. I'm never enough. I walk into a room and all I feel is their judgment. No matter how hard I try, no matter how what I wear, no matter what I do, no matter how hard I work to earn their love, I'm never enough. Just believe in me. And your thirst, that ache, that pain will be quenched. It'll be healed. Dead things come alive. We're partaking of the blood of Jesus. Guys, we like to debate, is it wine? Is it grape juice? Is it Kool-Aid? Is it water? It's whatever's in your fridge. It's blood. You got it? It's what it represents. And he's trying these different angles, okay? Finally, this is what? This is our start on chapter 4, chapter 6. Go to chapter 7 here, and it says, John 7, 37. It says, later again, Jesus stood, and now he shouted to the crowd. He's like, come on! Don't you get it? Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come to me and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water deep inside will flow from his heart. And when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, okay? So when you believe and put your faith in Jesus, we enter into the blood covenant, the symbolic rite, and the very blood of Jesus flows through our veins. Okay, I'm going to come back to this, so stick with me. Step 5 consists of splitting of the animal sacrifices. They got big old animals, like big old cows. I mean big animals. All right, and how many people know the bigger the animal is, the more blood? And they would split that animal from the back of the head all the way straight down the tailbone, and it would fall into 2 parts. Remember that little wedding aisle? And they would lay the animal split, 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 and there was an aisle, and it was called the walk of blood. Pour it out. What'd they do with it? First of all, what did this represent? This meant 2 were really 1. Smith-Jones, you felt like 2, but you're really 1 body. You're 1 body. And it was sealed in blood. And what then happened? The two representatives, remember the best chef and the best mechanic? The weaker tribe, so whoever didn't have the muscles, maybe the chef. Remember in the wedding, the bride? Maybe physically. My husband is a lot stronger than me, okay? So I remember, I'll talk about it later. I remember our wedding day, and he's standing right there, and I was walking into the best mechanic. That man can fix anything. Like, I'm telling you, and if not, he'll get a friend that can fix anything, and they do it together. I'm getting the better end of the deal, man. But he eats really well, okay? All right, he eats well. All right, so what the weaker of the tribes representative would walk down the aisle of blood towards the stronger. Interesting. We've kind of become civilized and we forgot where some things came from. All right. Whew. And then the sixth step, as they were walking, they started pronouncing the blessings and the cursings that they had agreed to. And we'll dig that into another time. They were if-then statements. Here's the blessing. If I follow the Lord God with my whole heart, my whole mind, all my strength. If I just put all my faith in Jesus, you know what? The better end of the deal is I don't have to work really hard. I just have to put all of my faith in Jesus and keep tight in that relationship. What? All right. We'll go back some other time, okay? Galatians 3, 13 through 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that we will receive the promised Spirit through faith. He's like, hey, you know what? You're going to mess up. So I'm going to send my son as the representative because you broke covenant. And instead of the curse coming on you, my son will take your place. And he'll take the curse on him. And he'll bleed for you. So you're like, you know, I'm not good at this thing. Guess what? He covers you with his blood. He took the curse for you. 1 John 1, 7 and 9. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Step 7, we're about to take communion, all right? Step 7, they set up a memorial. They do something that cannot be forgotten. And it could be a tree, it could be exchanging of sheep, you know, the whole 10 camels and 4 sheep for your wife thing, okay? And you see this in the Bible a lot. Sometimes they would pile up a memorial of stones. And it said that the covenant was made here. Sometimes they took one rock and put the terms of the covenant on the rock. Remember Moses? There are many different memorials in the Bible between man and man and man and God. We'll study them later. And the eighth step, here's the celebration. Here is the dramatic climax. Here is the big finale. This is the, you know, like when confetti goes everywhere. The last step was the covenant meal. Now it all makes sense. And what they would do, they would break bread and drink wine in symbolism, okay? And that bread meant the body becoming someone else's. The two became one. My family's your family. We are one, right? And the blood represented the blood of the covenant, okay, that was spilt. Leviticus 17, verse 11, and I'll dig into this later. It says, for the life of the body is in the blood. So they drank the wine in symbolism, saying this, the life of the body is in the blood. So when we drink wine together, my blood that was spilled, that I walk through, my life is yours, even to the death. Does it make sense now? So in Luke 22, 19 through 20, you can take the communion elements. What Jesus was saying is this bread is my body. And my body is now yours. You are the body of Christ. And my blood is my very life that I have spilt for you and I have died for you. And as I read this scripture, we'll take it together. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. You know, they say, oh, don't take it unworthy. Sometimes we just got to slow down and not just make it a mindless ritual and think, my covenant rights, Do you remember all the covenant rights? Do you remember the weapons that were exchanged, the robe of righteousness that was exchanged? So as I read it, Luke 22, 19 through 20, Jesus took the bread. You can take the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Church, this is his body that was broken for us, that was nailed to a cross for our sins, our shames, our shortcoming, and our healing. Whew. And as we take this cracker that represents his body, remember what he did for you. And don't receive it in vain. Don't do anything with it. Receive it in faith. It's yours. Thank you, Jesus. You can take the bread. Thank you, Jesus, for healing my heart, my mind, my body, taking my shame, adopting me. And then he said, "Likewise, the cup," you can raise your cup, "after they had eaten, saying, 'This is the cup that is poured out for you, that is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" You can take the blood. Jesus, thank you for pouring out your life for us. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for being beaten beyond human recognition to take away our sins and giving us eternal life. And thank you for revealing the mystery of your blood covenant from Eden to Revelations, Lord, so we can remember not only the precious cost, but so we don't receive your covenant in vain, that we apply it all in our lives by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go on this journey with me. I'll tell you, get a new color when you read your Bible for blood covenant. I'm getting a deeper revelation. We are loved. You are loved. You're dismissed. Please invite someone to lunch. Get to know someone. It's good to be family. Amen. Thank you.